to consider another one of the compound names of God that are found for us in the Word of God. We've been doing a study on the names of God and considering those things which reveal to us truth concerning the God in whom we serve. Each name reveals to us another aspect of the person and the perfections of our God, and each is precious, and each deserves truly our contemplation. By the way, I apologize tonight for not having a study sheet and just didn't have the time today with some of the things that kind of came up today. So you follow along the best you can, take some notes if you can, and we'll trust the Lord will help us as we study together. We're looking again at the compound names of God. Each of these compound names, as we will study those, we'll find springs forth from a need in the life of man. And each one of these names progressively reveals to us more about our God. So as we consider these compound names of God, we're going to find them in the midst of the context of the life of man. There's going to be a need that arises, and God is going to do a work, and in doing that work, He's going to reveal to those individuals and then to us a truth concerning His person, a truth concerning His perfections. 2 weeks ago, we considered the first of these compound names, the name Jehovah Jireh. Let me ask you this. What does the name Jehovah Jireh tell us about God? Joan.
God saves and
okay, that the Lord provides. Jehovah Jireh simply means the Lord provides. We remember that revelation about that truth that our God, the Lord provides, came to us through the life of Abraham. As Abraham was taken through the experience of being asked to offer his son, his only son Isaac, whom he loved, upon the altar of sacrifice. Abraham, we know, obeyed the Lord. He took Isaac with him to that place that God had directed him. And right before Isaac was to be offered by Abraham upon the altar, God called out to Abraham. And he showed to Abraham that he had provided another way, a way that would free Isaac from death. And so as you consider the name Jehovah Jireh and the truth that God provides, we really understand this about our God. That God is a God who provides for man a way of redemption. He provides a way for man to escape the death that he is worthy of because of sin. You and I serve a God who is a God who can provide. He is the provider of redemption, our wonderful salvation that we have been given. As I consider that name, I believe it's a beautiful truth that's been revealed to us. The Lord provides. Not just our physical needs. He does provide those things. But what a blessing that our God provides for our greatest need, our spiritual need. He provided for us redemption. Tonight we want to look at the next compound name that's recorded for us. And that name is going to be found in Exodus chapter 15. I'm going to invite you to turn there. Exodus chapter 15. I'm going to invite you to follow along as I read, beginning in verse 22. We're going to read down through verse 26. Exodus 15, beginning in verse 22. We read these words. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them, and said, "If thou wilt diligently hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in His sight, and will give ear to His commandment, and keep all His statutes. I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. Tonight we're going to consider the name Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. Let's bow and ask the Lord's blessing upon our time, and then we'll consider this and these thoughts together tonight. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank You tonight that we can come and study the Word of God. We thank You, Father, that You have progressively revealed to us truth concerning Yourself and Your Word. Father, I thank You that the first compound name that You shared with us was the truth of our redemption, that You are Jehovah Jireh. Lord, I thank You as well. You are a God who heals. And Father, we all will face days of bitterness and difficulty of life as we come to the waters of Marah throughout our course of life. But You're a God who is able to heal. Now, Lord, I pray that You would help us tonight as we come and consider these truths together. We'll thank You, Father, and praise You. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, the name that we find here in our text is the name Jehovah Rapha. That's R-O-P-H-E. It's not actually seen in the text, but it's found in that last verse as we read that God declares that He is the Lord, again, Jehovah, that healeth thee. And that's the Hebrew word Rapha. You and I serve a God that is able to heal. He is Jehovah Rapha. Before we consider the various implications of this name, I think it's helpful that you and I see the context in which this name, again, is revealed to us. So I want to look at the occasion of the name. Why is it that God decided to share this truth at this time? What's taking place? It's important that we always keep in mind, anytime we study a portion of Scripture, we have to keep in mind the larger story in which the smaller scenes are played out. When you and I take time to study the Word of God, there is a context. There is immediate context, the very verse in which we find the truth. There are the verses that surround it. But we also have to understand the whole context in which it is found. You and I are looking at Exodus chapter 15, and it's important that we remember what's taking place in the book of Exodus. The book of Exodus records for us the story of Israel's emancipation. They had been the slaves of Egypt, and God had promised to deliver them, and He is now setting these people free from the hands of the empire of Egypt. And God is determined in the book of Exodus that in His perfect wisdom and in His perfect will, He is now going to set His people free. And He's going to give to them the land that He promised unto Abraham. You remember when God told Abraham to follow Me to a land which I will show you. That Abraham came into the land and God told him to walk amongst the land, and He would show him that which He had given to him. And God had promised to him a land, and through him He would make a great nation. That nation now exists in the people of Israel. And God is now saying it is time for the people of Israel to come and enter into the land that I have promised to Abraham. And so as you come to the book of the Exodus, we find God doing a work. And He is going to set His people free. You remember as we studied last year the truths that you found as we study such a thought. God would raise up Moses, this one who would be their deliverer, their emancipator. And God, through His mighty hand, would use Moses to set His people free. He did so, as you remember, through those 10 plagues, which He brought upon the land of Egypt. The final plague, it was that the firstborn of all the land of Egypt would die. And at the night in which that happened, there was a great cry in Egypt, so much so that they said, it's time for you to get out. Remember what God told the people of Israel to do on the night of the Passover? They would have put the blood upon the doorpost, but you know what else they were supposed to do? They would have made themselves ready. Because God was going to deliver them. And as God delivered them, He didn't just deliver them. He provided for their needs today and in the days to come. They literally spoiled the land of Egypt. They took from them gold and silver and precious things. God provided for His people and He had set them free. What happens though right after Israel's set free? A key event. Pharaoh wakes up, doesn't he? What did I do? How am I going to accomplish all the things in my empire without my slaves? I need those people. They were 3 million strong. I think I made a mistake. Let's get the armies and let's go after them. Let's bring them home. We need those people. They now have chased after Israel and they've come to the Red Sea. It was a frightening experience for the people of Israel. We can't go forward. And if we turn around, there's the armies of Pharaoh. And God did a wonderful thing, did He not? In one act, He showed to His people mercy. And He showed to the wicked His judgment. He parts the Red Sea. And the cloud, the pillar of cloud, comes down and it stands between Israel and Egypt. To Israel, it brought light and blessing. To Egypt, it brought terror. The people of Israel crossed through the Red Sea on dry ground. God says, I'm going to leave the walls up a little bit because I have a plan for Pharaoh and his armies. They follow after and God lets the walls collapse and there they drown. We find that chapter 14 of the book of Exodus. When you come to chapter 15, chapter 15 begins with the song of redemption. There is great joy and rejoicing and singing and dancing and shouting. God had provided a wonderful victory. And the people of God saw His wonderful blessing, His great mercy, and His awesome power. As you continue in chapter 15, you come to verse 22. And they travel 3 days into the wilderness of Shur. And lo and behold, the water runs dry. They got to find water. A place that the people could drink and be refreshed. And God leads them to the place called Marah. I want you to put yourself in the people of Israel's shoes for a moment. 3 days, the water is gone. And you see the water up ahead. What are you thinking? Oh, what a blessing. It's over. There's going to be refreshment. It'll be okay. We can go a little longer. Then they come to Marah, and the water is bitter so that they cannot drink. Now remember, 3 days before they come to the Red Sea, surely they would die. God provided deliverance. Now they come and they need water. Do they remember what God had done? No. Now they grumble. Now they complain. Moses, what are we going to do about this need for water? What did you do to us? And God now is going to show to them that He's the God. Because He's going to take those bitter waters which cannot be partaken of, they cannot drink, and He is going to make them sweet, and He is going to satisfy the longing of their life. And God reveals to them now, I am the Lord that healeth thee. I am Jehovah Rapha. What a wonderful thought to consider. you and I at times are going to face situations just like the Israelites. And in fact, you and I can probably relate pretty well to them at this moment in time. You can probably think in your life that there were times in which you were looking to be refreshed and all that you found was something bitter and difficult. We've all faced that. We've all gone through those bitter periods of life. We all face the times in our life where the need is for God to heal. For God to heal us. For God to heal the circumstance that we're in the midst of. Lord, you've got to make this sweet. I just can't do it any longer. We're without water. We've all been there. But as we consider where they were and what God is now teaching, I want you to see some observations tonight about this name, Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. First of all, I want you to see this with me. God's plans at times include bitterness. I want you to hear that. God's plans for your life and my life at times will include periods of bitterness. Now, I'm not talking about the bitterness that you hold within your heart that is sin. That Hebrews tells us that we ought to take heed that we not fail the grace of God. I'm talking about the circumstances of life which to you, when you taste of them, they're just bitter. They're hard to take in. They're sour. I remember probably about a year ago now, Brandon Edwards come up to me and said, Pastor, you got to try this piece of candy. You got to eat it. It's called toxic waste. You ever tried those things? It's terrible. He gives me the lemon flavored toxic waste. I thought I was going to die. He said, listen, if you just keep it in there for about 15 seconds, taste goes away. But 5 seconds in, I was spewing that thing out of my mouth. It's a terrible taste. This week, to try to help with the congestion and the problems that I'm having, I thought, well, if they advertise it, Buckley's. I'll take Buckley's and we'll help get this stuff out of here. I get the mucus and phlegm Buckley's because that's really what my need is. It is like drinking liquid Vicks vapor rub. It's heartburn going the wrong way. And I'm thinking, this is awful. I mean, it's hard to just take. You ever feel that way in your own life? I just can't take this. It's bitter. It's hard to swallow. But folks, I want you to understand something. God's plans for Israel included Mara. He led them there. It wasn't a mistake. God's plans for you and I sometimes take us to the waters of Mara. Because God has something for you and I to learn. And I want to encourage you with this thought tonight. We ought never despise the difficult days. Because the difficult days are as much a part of our life as the days of delight. God's plans include Mara. They sometimes include bitterness. And folks, that's okay. God never promised you sky's always blue. Or flowered strewn pathways all your life through. There's a poem that continues on and I can't remember it. I remember those two lines. God never promised us a perfect life without trial or victory. As a matter of fact, He told us quite the opposite. He told us not to be surprised when the fiery trials come upon you. Not to think it a strange thing. Folks, God's plans at times include bitterness. But I want you to see a second observation with me, if you would. Verse 24. The people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? And Moses cried unto the Lord. And the Lord showed him a tree which when he had cast it into the waters were made sweet. You know what I learned from that? Although God's plans at times include bitterness, God's healing is always at hand. I want you to think about this for a moment. What did God use to sweeten the waters? Easy question. A tree. Does a tree just happen to appear in a moment or two and just kind of shoot up? No, it kind of takes a while for it to develop, doesn't it? It takes a while for a tree to grow. I want you to think about it. God knew in eternity past that when he delivered his people, after he took them through the Red Sea, their next stop would be through a wilderness which would remove them from water, that he would take them to Marah, to waters they could not drink. So what did he do? He planted a tree that would fix the problem to teach his people and to teach you and I that his healing is at hand. How did they get it? Moses prayed, and God revealed. Folks, God's healing is at hand. He is the God who heals. Life is bitter and it's hard to swallow, but God's healing is nearby. Moses brings the people's complaint to God, and God reveals to Moses a tree that when placed in the water turns the water sweet. They were bitter, true, but God provided a way for them to be made sweet. God has providentially placed before you and I provisions for our every need. Did you know that? I think of 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. There is no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, and will with the temptation provide a way of escape. Temptation, trial, hardship, faithful God who provides a way. He is Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. God's plans at times include bitterness, but God's healing is always at hand. I want you to see a third observation. And that is this: continued blessing is found as we adhere to his word. Continued blessing is found as we adhere to his word. Look at verse 26. And he said, if thou wilt diligently hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians. God's making a promise, is he not, to his people? He is promising them continued blessing. How does it come? God is promising that he will not bring to them the diseases that he has placed upon the people of Egypt. He will not bring those plagues. How does that come? There's conditions, are there not? It says they adhere to those conditions in the word of God. There's a wonderful promise to the children of Israel, but it's a conditional promise. The blessing was afforded to them as they adhered to the word of the Lord God. Folks, I want you to know something. The same is true for you and I. We serve a God who heals. He'll bring us through days that may be difficult and we have to face the waters of Marah. But God's healing is at hand, and he will continually bless as we adhere to his word. He gives us promises, but the promises are conditional. God is able to heal the bitterness of life and provide pathways of blessing. But you and I will often miss out on those blessings because we're not willing to adhere to his word. Folks, within the pages of the Holy Scripture are literally thousands of promises. Some of those promises are unconditional. God simply says, I will do this, period. There's other promises that are conditional. If you will, then will I. There's a promise of revival, is there not, in 2 Chronicles 7:14? If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then will I hear from heaven. And I will, what? Forgive and heal their land. Some of the promises of God are conditional. We, you and I, can have continued blessing if we would but adhere to the teachings of the Word of God. And God is saying that to the people of Israel. Give ear to His commandments. Keep all of His statutes. Do that which is right in His sight. There's a final thought, final observation tonight. And that is this. God's plans at times include bitterness. His healing is at hand. Continued blessing is found as we adhere to His Word. But let us never forget that God is the source of all healing. He ends the verse, for I am Jehovah that heals thee. I am Jehovah God who heals. He is the source of all healing. Let me ask you this question tonight. Is there some area of your life that needs some healing? Physical healing? Emotional healing? Relational healing? Spiritual healing? Recognize that God is the source of all healing. He has revealed Himself as the Lord who heals. Specifically and most importantly, He does so for the spiritual needs. By the way, I don't think it's insignificant that what God planted by the waters of Marah was a tree. Folks, what brought our greatest healing to mankind? The cross, a tree. It's a picture, it's representative of the greatest healing that God will ever provide. He provides to you and I redemption through the blood of Jesus Christ. Cursed is he who hung upon that tree, and he did that for you and me. He became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. God is a God who heals. And if he is able to heal your greatest needs spiritually, then folks, he can take care of the problems physically. He can deal with your problems emotionally. He can handle the problems relationally. He is a God who heals. We ought to trust in him. Because he's the source of all healing. We simply need to recognize him as that one who heals. God has made himself known to us. He has allowed us to see him for who he is. He is Elohim, the Almighty. He is Jehovah, the self-existent one. He is Adonai, Lord and Master. He is El Shaddai, the all-sufficient one. He is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who is able to provide. And he is Jehovah Rapha. He is the God who brings healing to the people of this land and this earth and to your life and to mine. He's a God who heals. What a wonderful God we serve. Yet the waters of Marah come to the God who heals. You finding some things just a little bit too hard to swallow? Life tastes too much like vapor rub? God heals! By the way, I gave up on that about 2 days in. It's not worth going after that anymore. God will take care of it. He'll heal when I need to get my voice back. He does heal, folks. He provides our every need. And He is the one who is ready. Yes, He'll take us through the days of bitterness, but His healing is at hand. Adhere to His word. Hold to the promises and trust in the God who's the source of all healing, Jehovah Rapha. Let's pray. Father, we thank You again for our time tonight. We thank You for the privilege and joy of being able to come to Your word. We thank You for the revelation that is given to us that we serve a God that is able to heal. Lord, You have met the greatest need of our life, that is spiritually, through the cross of Jesus Christ. And Lord, You're able then to meet the other needs, physical, emotional, relational. Lord, You're able to bring healing. And Lord, we ask and pray that we would simply trust in You, the God who is the source of all healing, Jehovah Rapha. We thank You and we praise You. In Jesus' wonderful and His precious name, amen. God bless you. You are dismissed.